I want you to look around a bit this morning. See how many crosses you can find here in the sanctuary. I mean, after all, there's one there on the altar, over there, a couple up on the wall. Of course, I'm wearing several. I mean, there's some right here. And of course, don't forget to look at yourself, too. Maybe some of you have a cross necklace on, or maybe some of you ladies have cross earrings. The cross is really so common to us that we probably don't even think about it. It's so familiar to us that we can probably even say that it's something beautiful. I mean, after all, that certainly is a beautiful cross. But if you were to go back in time and to meet a Roman on the street, and you were wearing your cross necklace or you ladies had in your cross earrings, he would look at you like you had three heads. Because time has taken away from us the horror of the cross. Now it's just something that we use to decorate. But because of that, because it is so familiar to us Christians, it's why it's so hard for us to understand what Paul is talking about in our epistle reading for today. He says in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The word of the cross is foolish to the world. It's something that it stumbles over, something that it refuses to accept. And not least of which because the cross itself is offensive. The cross itself is a horror that they cannot get over. To the world, the cross is nonsense. To the world, the cross is foolish. Take away the cross, maybe they could accept the gospel. If there were no cross, maybe they would even come to believe. But as long as that cross is still there, they will refuse because it is foolish. It is offensive. It is indecent. How can you say that such an ugly thing is the way of God? How can you say that such a gnarled, hideous tree is the road to heaven? And to understand this, Christians, I think we need to feel something of the horror that the ancient world felt for the cross. We need to see why it is so offensive to the world. To be able to look past our pretty gold and silver crosses and to see the cross for what it really is. The cross is an instrument of death. Something like a noose or an electric chair. But a noose or the chair are meant to kill very quickly. We try to put people to death as quickly and as efficiently as possible. The cross, on the other hand, was meant to prolong suffering for as long as possible. That's why Pilate, when he hears that Jesus is already dead, is so surprised. Men usually stayed on the cross for days, not just a few hours like Jesus. And so Pilate has to confirm that he's actually dead so that he can give the body of Jesus to Joseph. And Christians, maybe we can feel some of the same horror that the ancient world felt towards the cross if we associate it not so much with execution, but with torture. Because remember how Jesus was beaten savagely even before he was crucified. And I'm not even talking about the pain of the nails. The cross is a brutally slow way to die. In fact, it was so bad that the ancients invented a word to describe its pain, a word which we still use, excruciating, literally out of the cross. And all of this, Christians, is the reasons why the Romans didn't even like to talk about the cross. They used it, yes, but It's not something that you brought up in polite company. They had laws regulating its use. No Roman citizen, for example, could be crucified. The cross was reserved for slaves, for foreigners, and for criminals. The worst of the worst. Barabbas, for example, who was arrested for murder and for rebellion, was the kind of person that was normally crucified. And Christians, I haven't even gone into that much detail talking about the cross. I haven't become graphic about it at all, but I imagine that we already feel somewhat uncomfortable. Because the cross is not something that people talked about. It's not something that they wanted to talk about. Even the gospel writers themselves only mention it in passing. They say that Jesus was crucified without going into any detail. John, for example, says, "There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them." That's all he says. He doesn't tell us how it happened. He doesn't need to tell us how it happened, because everybody knew. The cross was feared and hated. The cross was repulsive and grotesque. The cross was deeply offensive to all. Now then, Christians, do you see why Paul can say that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing? We are saying that this is the way of salvation, that God chose this instrument of death as our way to heaven. It'd be like saying Barabbas died for your sins. Or it'd be like saying that God chose a criminal to save us. Jesus wasn't a criminal, of course. He didn't do anything wrong, but he was crucified. And to people's minds in those days, that was as much as saying he was a criminal. We might as well say that Jesus got the chair. But this is why Paul goes on to say, starting in verse 22, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews because they expected a king who came conquering, a king who would take over. Someone who would take power and fix everything immediately. Someone who would come in and begin a golden age. It's kind of like people who expect a politician to fix everything. If we just have the right guy in office, then everything will be better. The Jews had pinned all of their hopes on reform and on victory. But to say that this man is the king, that this man crucified like a criminal, like the worst of the worst, you're saying that he is the chosen one of God. It'd be kind of like saying that we win by losing. It'd be like saying that victory comes from being captured and executed. It just doesn't make any sense. That's why Christ crucified is a stumbling block for them. And it's also why it's a folly to the Gentiles, because it just doesn't make any sense. How can you say that this is the source of all good, that any good could come out of the cross and not just evil? How can you say that the way of wisdom comes through death? It doesn't make any sense. That's why Christ crucified is folly for them. But even if the cross isn't that offensive to us Christians, even if it's something that we say is pretty, that we use to decorate, the word of the cross is always offensive to the world. Because God has chosen what is weak and lowly in the world. God has brought salvation through death and through suffering. God saved you, and you had nothing to do about it. God has taken away all of our room for boasting. There is no room for self-love or for pride. Because God didn't save us through wisdom, as if just learning a few secrets is the way to get to heaven. One weird trick and you'll find your way to heaven and be happy forever. God did not save us through worldly power, as if he was an ordinary king, that Jesus was forcing everyone to accept him at the edge of a sword. God did not save us through our own efforts. Jesus did not come to start what we now have to finish, as if he did his part and we have to do ours, so that we can somehow glory in ourselves and talk about how good we are. No, Christians, God saved you through the cross, that ugly, terrible instrument of death. God brought victory through defeat. He brought life through death. He brought strength through weakness. He brought wisdom through folly. And that folly, that foolishness, is now your salvation. As Paul says in verse 25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And looking at that cross, Christians, why should I be proud? Have I done something to make God love me? Have I earned my salvation through what I have done? Of course not. My sins required that cross. When I look at that cross, why should I then look down on my brother? Have I done something more than he has? Have I earned God's favor more than him? Of course not. My sins and his were both nailed to that cross and paid for by the blood of God. When I look at that cross, why should I give in to anger, to selfishness, to lust? Why should I think that my sins aren't that big a deal, that it ultimately doesn't matter? That is what my sins required. That and nothing less is what I deserve. Yes, Christians, when I look at that cross, there is no room for boasting. But through that cross, God has made me his child. Through that cross, God has forgiven me all of my sins. Through that cross, I have become his own. And I am no longer what I once was. Therefore, may I never boast in myself. If I must boast, I will boast in God. Because through what is foolish to the world, I have come to know God. Through what is offensive to the world, I have found the way to heaven. Through that cross, as ugly and as hideous as it is, I have been saved. It didn't depend on me. I have done nothing worthy of God's love. But God first loved me through that cross. He gave his only son so that I would live. Maybe to put it best in the words of our hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all
my pride. Let us pray. Almighty God, who in wisdom has chosen what is lowly in the world to save us from our sins, forgive us for what we have done, and do not let us be puffed up in pride, but let us glory in you alone. For you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.